This is Marianne Hobbs with the band Passengers. On lines from around the world, I have The Edge, Brian Eno and First Bono. Why the album title Original Soundtracks 1?
When you're working on a U2 record, the centre of it is, of course, the music itself. But when you're working with soundtracks, the centre is the picture. It is an extraordinary thing that some soundtracks transcend that. We wanted to make a very visual music. That was really it. So it wasn't about storytelling.
Quite a lot of the music that I've recorded on my own records has ended up being used as film music. Working with U2, we've often come up with things that didn't end up on their records and which sounded like they could have been film music. So this is a collection of things that we've made for films. If you say to someone, this is music for a film, you immediately stimulate in them a visualizing process. People start to imagine what the film would have been like. And as soon as you do that, of course, you're co-opting them into the creative process. That's a kind of interactivity that I think is real, where people are imagining along with you what this music is about. I think this is actually quite often what happens with interesting music anyway, whether it's called music for films or not.
I think that we have at times in U2's work been attempting to create a kind of a cinematic quality, in the sense that I think our songs, when they really work, they bring you to a place that has a real visual aspect. I think particularly, say, the Joshua Tree. When we were working on that, we knew what sort of a location we were trying to conjure up. The wonderful thing about the way the list of co-passengers was put together was that it was somewhat spontaneous, and the first extra passenger was Holly. She came in because we were working on a track and we all decided that it would be wonderful to hear a Japanese voice, either just talking or singing. What was incredible was how quickly she understood what we were trying to do.
Actually, it was really surprising because I was so bored, I wanted to get out of my room. We arrived at the entrance of the studio, and Brian said, okay, then I'll introduce you to the band. And I said, what band? Is that your new band? He said, no, it's you too. So it's another shock for me. I was completely gobsmacked. I just stepped in the studio next moment, and everybody was there. Bono, Edge, Adam, Larry. I just lost my words, and I just said hello to everybody. But that was the only thing I could manage to say. I was a bit tense, because improvisation itself is tense work. But I was told, don't worry about mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. Then I thought, oh, that's good. So I can make mistakes then.
When we were in Tokyo, we used to hang around this area called Shinjuku, which, you know, you have these 50-foot neon signs in pink, blue and gold. And to me, it was like I just walked onto Ridley Scott's Blade Runner. And the Yakuza, which are the mafia over there, would have their black, bulletproof Rolls Royces parked, you know, in the middle of the street. And these are extraordinary characters. These are businessmen, but underneath their suits they have these extraordinary lattice tattoos. You know, if one of them misbehaves, they knock your finger off. You can see them, some of them missing a digit. And it's all very, very surreal, as mad as it sounds. I think Slug, that just idea is just not wanting to blow it. You know, we all play with things we shouldn't play with. Don't want.